Our reading today is reading from Acts 2, verses 42 to 47. The fellowship of the believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Morning, saints. Oh, thank you. Quick start for 10. Turn to your neighbour and tell them, what's the plural of disciple? And the answer is church. I didn't make that up. It's the name of a book, but I rather liked it because we're such an individualistic society, but we're called to be one body, and it's called church. We had the words up there. I know you probably didn't need them because we've had 10 weeks in a row of the same Bible reading. I hope you're not sick of it. I hope you're almost there memorizing it. Because it's just such a fantastic paragraph, the final paragraph of Acts chapter 2. We know the beginning of Acts 2, which is Pentecost. The Spirit's poured out. The first Christians come alive by the power of God. They go out, and 3,000 people are added that first day. And we see this beautiful picture of that first early church and the things they devoted themselves to. And we've been looking at the 10 holy habits, the things they gave themselves to completely. How many of you, it's just popped into my mind, I don't think it's the Spirit, but I'll try it anyway. How many of you like Xbox? Oh, there's only a couple of us here. But PlayStation, okay, so other things are available. But I don't know, if you're just getting into one of these games, you sort of devote yourself. You can just overindulge. But that's they're overindulging. They're going over the top in the things of God. They devote themselves. And then the final phrase after these wonderful things, the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, the prayers, and giving, the generosity, eating together, both the Lord's table and hospitality in their homes, service, and the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. And the way it reads to me is as they practiced these holy habits, they quite naturally grew. Now, I'm sure it's right to be intentional about sharing our faith as we have opportunities. But here it sounds like it's so obvious. As they practice holy habits, the Lord adds to their number daily those who are being saved. It's not about trying harder. It's the Lord who adds to their number. And it sort of reminds me of what Jesus says in John 15. If you don't know that chapter, I commend it to you. It's wonderful about Jesus saying, I'm the vine. And you don't have to know anything about really any plant, but the vine is the one he uses, of staying plugged in. All the energy is coming up from the roots, and all you have to do is stay plugged into the main trunk. And if you're a branch stuck in, you can't help it. You just quite naturally, the sap rises and you will bear fruit. I am the vine, you're the branches, if you remain in me. And that's where the only thing that really matters, if you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can only do a few cool things. Of course, he doesn't say that. You can't do anything. If it's not the life of God rising, there is no fruit. But if we're staying plugged in, there's much fruit that will last. And these first Christians are living lives so close to Jesus, they somehow can't help but be fruitful. And day by day, the Lord adds to their number those who are being saved. I quite like the phrase, those who are being saved. If I were to ask you, are you saved? And looked quite inquisitorial at that moment, you might feel intimidated. And in one sense, of course, we'd say, yes, if we are, if we've given our lives to Jesus, then we'd say, as Hebrews puts it, once for all. So Jesus died. It was a forensic, it was a legal act he accomplished in his life, death, and resurrection. I am saved. But those who are being saved, in another sense, we're all on a journey, on a process, what the Bible calls sanctification. Do you fancy being sanctified? You do. Being made holy. I think, oh dear, do I want that? The first followers of Jesus were called followers of the way. But they were also called Christians from the word Christ, which means the anointed one, the Messiah. So if you're a Christian, you're a little Messiah. You're a little anointed one. How does that make you feel? It's like it was a term of abuse against them. Oh, they think they're a little Messiah. But actually, that's what they said. They were growing into the things of God, and they were on this journey of sanctification, of being made holy. And for that reason, I quite like the book of James. First entered my consciousness when I was living in Winchester at teacher training college. And then I read chapter 3. I thought, well, I think we've got this wrong then. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, since you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. That verse quite often enters my consciousness when I hear of things going badly in another church or in this church. I think, well, that's the truth. We all stumble in many ways. We all do. And that leads us to be not condemning, but merciful. Blessed are the merciful because they will receive mercy. And I know I need mercy. You probably heard the story, someone, a lady who was having her portrait done. And she said to the artist, I demand that you do me justice. And the painter said, Madam, you need mercy, not justice. Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior. So we're to receive mercy because we all stumble in many ways. But even though, I mean, that first church, we might think in a romanticized way, oh, they were perfect. I wish I could have been part of that. They were actually quite screwed up if you read other things. There were all sorts of terrible things going on. And yet, despite that, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. There was enough of Jesus rising in the sap that they were sharing their faith explicitly and in the lives they led. I don't know how many of you have read anything by Tom Wright. He's one of the greatest theologians of our age. I've heard him speak many times. If you're going to read any of his books, if it says N.T. Wright, it means it's an academic book with the footnotes are longer than the main text. If he's Tom Wright, you know you can get through it. There might even be a picture. But he's written commentaries on everything, and he's got a brain the size of the planet, but loves God very deeply. And I went to the book launch that he did of this, Simply Good News. If you've forgotten why Jesus is good news for you, I commend this book to you. It is quite simply put. He's got a great facility with language. I was going to bring some along because I bought 6 and got him to sign them all. He was a bit peeved off, I think. I've lent them all out. I can't find any of them. So, but I'm sure you can get hold of them. And he's just explaining why it's news, even though it's 2,000 years old, and why it is good. It's still good news. And I hope that grabs our hearts. And it's good news for us, and it's to be good news for our community. Last week, if you weren't here, you will have heard Will, whether you were here or not, it happened. Will and Sophie were talking and sharing our plans that there will be a new church presence at Hope Church on the Old Sarum Estate, especially for people who are residents of Old Sarum and Long Hedge, who may not go anywhere. Maybe they used to go somewhere but aren't plugged in anywhere, but it's somewhere local to be light in the community. And so if you want to find out more, do listen online, go to our church website, hear their talk. It was really inspiring and exciting. And here's the truth. If we want to multiply, we sometimes need to divide. It's actually easier to join lots of smaller groups than one great big. You're not looking convinced, but it's true. And we don't do church quite like St. Lawrence, and we're not going to do it quite like Hope Church. And we don't need to replicate. We're trying to be Jesus. We're trying to be built up in our faith and share our faith in an appropriate way for where God has placed us. And as we increase our surface area, we make it easier for different kinds of people to belong. If you think about your journey of faith, I don't know how it was, but most people, statistically this is true, most people first of all belong. They sort of come in and think, oh, this is quite nice, you know. And then they come to believe. I think, actually, this is true. And then over time, they become the people God is intending them to be. And then, if you're lucky, they start to behave. The trouble is, in our culture, and sadly sometimes in our church, it feels like the opposite journey. If people think they can behave, they might be becoming the sort of people, probably they'll then come to believe, and eventually we might let them belong. So people feel they couldn't come in because they're not behaving right. Isn't it the opposite of what we see in the Lord Jesus Christ in his ministry? He was called the friend of sinners. Just put up your hand if you think you've got a lot of friends who are sinners. Okay, well, that was pretty quick. That's good then. Unless it's the person sitting next to you. But yeah, we all make many mistakes. So the purpose of the plural of disciple is church, with all our failings, with all our follies. And yet, if the life of Jesus is rising in us, church is a beautiful thing, and people will want to belong. They will come to believe. They will become the people God always wanted, and then they might behave. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Just want to look very briefly at the first call of the disciples. Mark 1. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. I used to think that's how I became a Christian, that I turned from all my wickedness when I was 11. I've done so much more bad things since I've been a Christian. That's the tragedy. And then I came to believe. It was only much later I thought, that's actually dishonest. That's not how it happened. I came to believe that God loved me. And then I thought, actually, I really want to be different. I think I believed and then repented. It's not that one has to come first. So that's the shorthand for the preaching, the proclamation of the gospel and all that it brings. And then Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee. He saw Simon and his brother Andrew, and he said, come, follow me, and I'll send you out to fish for people. It's Jesus' first joke. Did you get it? Okay, not everyone found it funny then. But he takes what they're currently doing, and he says, actually, I can use what you do and just give it a twist. And so we're invited, like them, into a journey of discipleship. Come, follow me. I don't know if I talk about my family too much. Forgive me if I do, but it's the biggest experience I have of life with others. But I suppose, I mean, I've wanted to be a good vicar most of the time. But the thing I care most about as a human being is that my own family would come to know Jesus, that our children would grow up to know him. And so Sue and I did spend time thinking about how can we disciple our teenage sons. And one of the things that for me felt really important when they were teenagers was going for a walk with, and I'd take one of them at a time. I don't know whether they felt that was a punishment or a privilege, but I'd say, hey, look, rather than going to bed, which the others are doing, let's just go for a little walk. And where we lived in New Road with no lighting, we'd just go for a 20-minute walk. And in the darkness, we'd chat. And I might share what I was finding rubbish about my life or my job or other people, as well as the joys. And in that context, they would do the same. And we just got into this habit of walking together, of journeying and sharing our lives. And so I love this idea of discipleship is really often walking alongside another person and sharing truth and feeling it's safe to do that. I hope we feel this is a church where you can be who you are and not just who you are trying to pretend you are. And to this day, when our sons come home, even if it's gone midnight, they shake me and say, come on, we're going out for a walk. I thought, leave me alone. But actually, that there's no greater joy than being discipled and being in a discipleship relationship with others. And I encourage you to think about it. Come follow me, walking with others. And Jesus gives them a specific moment to say, come on, step up now. One of the things I did encourage Will and Sophie to do last week was not just to cast the vision for Hope Church, but to take the risk of at the end saying, and now, if you think God is speaking to you, stand up. A bit like Billy Graham, get up out of your seat. And there's we might probably feel a slightly cringy side about that, but there's a really good point that if we have stood up, I mean, if we're too embarrassed to do it in church, how are we going to stand up for Jesus out there in a hostile world at times? But it sort of seals it in our own hearts. Yeah, I do want to be a disciple, and I think this is God's call right now that I'm meant to be doing this. So it fixes it in our minds. But it doesn't happen all at once. And they, the first disciples, and we are invited into this journey of discipleship. But the purpose isn't just so, yes, I make it to heaven. It's so that, and I will send you out to fish for people. How many of you enjoy fishing? Two of us, great. Well, let me tell you, it can be fun. Trouble with me, I mean, I love a day out fishing, even if I don't even get a bite. I mean, it's been a good day out. But Jesus says, I want you to fish, and that involves having a catch that people will be landed. The big difference, I'm probably going a bit old and soft, because I start feeling sorry for the fish now, because they were quite happy, and then I'm taking them from life to death. When we fish for human beings, it's the opposite deal. People are brought from death to life. So we've no need to be afraid or ashamed or embarrassed. We're offering what has been offered to us, life in all its fullness. So I just want to close with a couple of thoughts. It says in 1 Peter chapter 3, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. I wonder if you feel you could say, if someone tomorrow or in the week ahead says, and this has happened to me many times, particularly if they see I've got a dog collar, or it's sort of, they're surprised, well, you go to church. Why do you do that? Like, you're weird. What could you say? What would you say in one sentence so that it's gracious and truthful and authentic and sounds like there's a gift rather than a curse? Oh, because let me tell you about Jesus. He's, without talking about me, not probably talking about church, but talking about Jesus, who is simply good news for everyone. Always be prepared. Paul says sometimes in season or out of season, whether you feel like it or not, is there a way you can learn to share your story really easily to anyone who asks? So we're not being insulting, we're not troubling people, we're just sharing when they've asked the reason for the hope that you have. And the second question, who are we walking alongside in a journey of faith? I thank God for people who journeyed with me, who mentored me, who loved me. Let me ask questions. Now, can I ask, if you're a follower of Jesus, who are you intentionally at the moment trying to share your journey and your life with? So our theme is coming to an end of these holy habits, and it finishes with the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And that will happen when people belong, and then they'll come to believe, and then they'll become the people God intended. So, Lord, we offer this to you and pray that you may lead us all into life in all its fullness, that the world may believe.